As we look into the pages of God's Word, we notice the division that man has made in it, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Excuse me. All of it is God's Word. While we today live under the new law, the old law is still there for us to understand how God dealt in the past with His people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, Paul says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." They are written, we know, also for our instruction, as Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." As we look at what... that young man right there, Edward, just read for us. How soon we forget. We have a good example for us here in 1 Samuel chapter 25. There's several examples here, as a matter of fact. We could examine David. We could examine Nabal. But we're going to turn our attention to Nabal's wife, Abigail, as we examine these verses this afternoon. The time period that's recorded here is during a time when David and 600 young warriors that were with him were fleeing from the wrath of Saul. Rather than fight Saul, David took his men and went out into the wilderness. This was, at the time, up in what later became the northern kingdom. As we note, the things that took place here were around Mount Carmel, which was on the northwestern side of the River of Jordan. It's the same mountain that Elijah faced the prophets of Baal. But we find Nabal and his men out shearing sheep. At this time, there was a great feast that was to be attended. Before this time, David had been with the herdsmen of Nabal, and nothing that they had come to harm. David and his men had taken nothing from them. And as a matter of fact, the record tells us that they kept Nabal, his belongings, and his herdsmen safe from those who might otherwise have done them harm. But it's rather interesting as we examine this name, Nabal. It actually means fool. And we see that he is true to his name as we examine this record. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, as it was just read for us, down in verse 25, "Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of the Lord, of my Lord, whom you sent." As I said, the example given here, Nabal acted the fool. On a particular feast day, David sent 10 of his men to request provisions. As far as David was concerned, it was reasonable payment for the services that he had provided for Nabal and his men. We know not every farmer had 600 soldiers guarding his possessions. But Nabal refused to recognize David. It seems apparent that he knew something of David's background because he alludes to him being on the run. He calls David a runaway servant who is hiding from his legitimate master. And he asks, why should I take food from my workers to give to runaways? Paraphrasing here, of course. Nabal, it seems, didn't even take the time to check with his servants to see if the things that were told him about the care that David's men had given them was true. David became very angry at this rude response. He called his men to war, having the intention to kill all the males of Nabal's household. But one of his servants, that is Nabal's servants, realized what this man had done and ran to his wife to tell him what was taking place. Verses 14 through 17 of 1 Samuel 25. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time that we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Even this man's servants did not respect their master. But we see that this man's wife was quite a contrast to this foolish man. She was a woman of understanding, verse 3 tells us. If ever there was a good example of what Solomon wrote about the worthy woman, this is one. This is a good example. We want to spend the remaining time this afternoon talking about the response that she had when she was told what was happening. She did not delay, we're told in verses 18 and 19. Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seas of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, loaded them on a donkey, and she said to her servants, "Go on before me, see, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. She took enough provisions for David and his 600 men to properly observe the feast. She loaded up generous provisions and sent a servant ahead to tell David that she was coming, and then rode out to meet him. She didn't worry about what was about to happen. She didn't wring her hands and just give up, saying, "Oh no, what can I possibly do?" She immediately took action to take care of the problem before it became worse. Is there an example for us here? When we see a brother or sister angry and in danger of doing something rash, do we just delay and say, "Well, you know, there's really nothing I can do about it"? Or do we take action to diffuse the situation before someone out of anger sins? Anger is not to linger. Anger unchecked builds up and corrupts the angry person. Delaying will obviously not make anything better. Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Jesus tells us to settle matters immediately in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while he is on the way with..." Excuse me. "While you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison." Abigail humbled herself before David. Verse 23, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground." She could have been indignant. She could have been arrogant. When she confronted David, she could have said, "Why are you coming to kill my husband and all of the males that are members of our household? You don't have that right." But she didn't do that. Too many people today, and I'm afraid some Christians as well, want to argue that they're in the right. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8, the wise man says, "Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame?" Arguing, another proverb tells us, will just break the dam. Proverbs 17 and verse 14, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water." You know, most of us, I'm sure, have seen pictures of broken dams, whether on television or in movies or something. Perhaps you've even seen it in person. But you know, once that dam breaks, there is no turning that water back. Nothing you can do about it. Therefore, the writer says here in Proverbs 17 and verse 14, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Humble pleading is the only solution. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. You don't have a choice once that dam is broken. Stop it before it starts. We too need to restore the wayward in a similar manner. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't just give up, but take the opportunities that you have to help those who are struggling, who may be losing the fight. But notice something else that Abigail did. She took the blame for her husband's foolishness on herself and asked for forgiveness. Verses 24 through 28. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men whom my Lord, young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own blood, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to your young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. What? What did she do? She didn't do anything wrong, did she? But she took the blame on herself. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Boy, if that doesn't set David in his place. What's the trouble here? David is about to slaughter men because somebody turned down a request for food. But Abigail stands in the place and really puts David to shame. What are you about to do? We live in a society that looks to avoid responsibility. No one wants to be blamed for anything. Instead, they strive to fix the blame on someone or something else. What a contrast we see here in Abigail. It wasn't her fault, but she took the blame on herself. Much like our Lord, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. She is an example of what Christ did for us. When striving to restore others, we must be willing to shoulder the burdens that are not necessarily of our own making. Paul told the Galatians, going on from what we read before in chapter 6 and verse 1, here in verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help someone else bear their burden. Don't leave it all on them, but shoulder some of the responsibility yourself to help them through a difficult time. Abigail pointed out that her presence was the Lord's hand at work to keep David from sinning. You say, David was about to sin? Yes. As I just mentioned a moment ago, David was about to slaughter unarmed men because one man foolishly slighted him. David was guilty of being quick to anger. James talks about this in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Nabal was not nice. He was, in fact, rude. But does rudeness deserve the death penalty? No, of course not. At times, people need their sins pointed out to them, as Abigail on this occasion did to David. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. We weren't going to take the time to read these next couple of parts of this, but Abigail pointed out how the Lord had been with David. It's already been read in your hearing. How he had blessed him and how he would continue to bless him. All the good things that had been done for David and all that was yet to be done for David and his generations. The Lord purifies his servants who continue steadfastly in his will. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless, above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. All has been done for us, as all have been done for David. Abigail didn't just chastise him for straying, but pointed out that he was set for a nobler purpose, that he had a bigger responsibility that he needed to fulfill. She didn't just belittle him for what he was doing wrong, but built him up, knowing the things that were to come for David. When we need to take the opportunity to correct others, we need to keep that same spirit of not just tearing down, but helping to build up and strengthen and to show the better and more perfect way. See how Paul in Titus chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 wraps criticism with encouragement. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out in abundance through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in Christ should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. Not just don't do what's evil, but build them up to do what is right. Because there is profit in doing what is right. Abigail pointed out the insignificance of Nabal's offense. She told him in verses 30 and 31. Well, let's just read that. It shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that He has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged Himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. What did she say here? She said, great things are going to come to you. You are going to be of a noble position. Do you want this to be something that you look back on and cringe that this slight offense caused you to commit murder? No. You don't want this hanging over. You think you do now because you want to be avenged. But look to the future. How are you going to look back at this in time to come? You don't want to be ashamed of your previous actions. So stop it now. Don't let this become something that you will look back on later and regret. We don't want people to cry, it's too late to avoid sin. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. How I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. We don't want to be thinking back on something like that. We want those who we have the opportunity to help out of a situation like this to look back and realize that we had helped them make the right decision. For our boasting is this, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. We have opportunities from time to time to help strengthen our brothers and sisters who may be starting to make a wrong decision. But we also can stop ourselves When we become angry, do we continue on in that, or do we take the time to stop and think? It's not an easy thing to do, is it? First thing we want to do is open our mouth and lash out. But we need to watch ourselves. Look to the examples that we have of people like David. And look to the encouragement that we see by his making the right decision based on help that he had on this occasion by Abigail. We can help our brothers and sisters, and we can help ourselves. We have greater things to do than to squabble and quarrel and try to take our own revenge here on this earth. The party at Nabal's continued with him being ignorant of how close he came to death. Abigail waited until he sobered up the next day to tell him what had happened. The news shocked him so badly that he became like a stone. 10 days later, he died. We need to learn from this example. It wasn't just her foolish, wicked husband whom Abigail saved. She kept a righteous man from making a grave mistake. We need to look to ourselves to keep ourselves from making mistakes like this. We need to look to our brothers and sisters to see if we can help them to make the right decisions. You have a decision to make right now. And each opportunity, each breath that you take, you have the decision to make either to follow God, to follow Christ and His Word, or to turn your back on Him. What decision are you going to make? The time is right for you to make the decision to follow Christ right now. If you have not done so, this is the opportunity that you have to, upon your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, to confess Him before men, to be buried with Him in baptism, to walk in newness of life, knowing that you have the hope of eternal life. For without doing this, there is no hope of eternal life. Or if you've done that in the past and your life is not what it ought to be, you have the avenue of prayer to ask for forgiveness, knowing that He will forgive and you can stand once again justified in His sight. If we can help you in any way to be right in the sight of God, we would ask you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.